Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I'm just so thankful today for God's grace and His mercy. I don't know whether you're experiencing what I'm experiencing, but I know this much. God is going to do some great things in His house today. Today we're going to go into Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. My title of this message, I'll have a couple of titles for the next few weeks, are just kind of separate operating, but I think it'll impact us in a tremendous way before I start another series. But today we're going to talk about change your plans to get to your purpose. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, and we'll read the responding verses down through verse 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Oh, you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. For surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I want you to repeat that again. Seek the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Verse 9 together. For as the heavens are high than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to change the way we think. We're going to change the way we believe because of what your word has to say, because in order for us to accomplish your purpose and your plan, there's something that has to be transformed in us. Holy Spirit, you are here today. You're resident in so many things. We're talking about how we're going to bless your name. We're talking about healing. We're talking about deliverance. But most of all, we're talking about the things that will help us accomplish our purpose. Holy Spirit, erase everything in our mind, in our heart, in our thoughts that is contrary to what your will is for our lives, and fill us full of your goodness, of your mercy, of your power, of your grace, of your anointing to perform all the things you have purposed for us to be. We thank you for all these things. We praise you for all these things. In Jesus' name, everybody shout out amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Come on. You can go ahead and be seated. Or you turn somebody and tell them this, change your plans so you can accomplish your purpose. If they didn't look good enough, find somebody else and tell them, change your plans so you can accomplish your purpose. I don't know who you're sitting next to, but I'll tell you what. If they're not in the game, find somebody who will agree with that. How about this? Destiny and destinations are very similar words, but one will have a far greater impact on whether or not you will hear the coveted phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant, which simply means this. From the Lord at the end of your life. This statement need not be something that we have to wait until the day of the final judgment to experience the joy and the satisfaction of knowing that we are experiencing the joy of life filled with abundance of blessings and to be shared with believers, those who find their hope in Jesus through an example of love and compassion for all men. I want to tie a few things together. You know, one of the things about warm hats and the whole purpose of that particular group of folks, regular, ordinary people meeting in a room, knitting up some hats, putting them on some heads that need to be warm. You say, well, what's that all about? There's purpose behind that. There's love behind that. Here's my first question. Does your thirst for knowledge and purpose include passion to discover the life Jesus wants you to live in abundance? You know, I really love the fact that when a person says, I barely made it, I just had just enough to make it through. But you know something? God does not want you to live on the edge. God wants you to have enough to give away to somebody else. I mean, that's good. I'm glad God's provided for you. But you know, there's a need in the world today for us to have an abundance to share with other folks. Here's number two. Is there a longing for Jesus to fulfill your destiny? And I think some of us haven't even got to that place where we're just so struggling trying to make the minimum. But I believe today God is going to infuse your heart with grace and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to expect even more to be done. How about this? Where, what, or who have you put in your hope in to fulfill your purpose for living? Where, what, or who? A lot of disillusionment happens throughout life because certain people we've invested in or certain things we thought were going to be good for us didn't turn out that way. But this message today is if we change our plans, it'll be in the way that we think so we can accomplish our purpose. And we'll go back and revisit a few verses, breaking the cycle that keeps us trapped. Ever been in a kind of a thing where you kind of go around the same old thing over and over again? I will testify for you, yes, you have. Because you would have been further down the road by now if you had believed what the Word of God had said. Go back to these verses here. It says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. A lot of time we want to purpose that word to find Jesus while he's available. And we leave it at the salvation place. That's true. But while he may be found for you is while there's still an infusion of life of the Holy Spirit that is telling you that you can make it a lot further than you thought you could. Seeking the Lord while he may be found is the fact of there's some things that kind of hold us back from what God has in mind. And I want to give you three suggestions of what it might be. Number one, blame. There are folks you're blaming right now because you aren't further down the road. Some of you blaming your mama, your daddy, your teachers, your friends. How about this? Number two of that thing that's keeping us away from our purpose is anger. The Bible says this, anger rests in the bosom of a, some of you didn't know that, a fool. Thought you, that's in the Bible, I didn't call you a fool. But here's the third one, and I think all of us deal with this, disappointment. Oftentimes disappointment in our lives can be God's appointment that he's going to take you further than you thought you could go. And disappointment sometimes is a residual effect of we put our appointment or our stock in the wrong things. And so we've invested all this. We expected this person to come through for us or that person or this situation. But I want to let you know that oftentimes those things you're disappointed about today, God has appointed something else for your future. And you need to let go of what disappointed you and get onto what God has appointed for you. It's time to move on. I want to talk to some people that I won't get to. I want you to vote on this one, but I know you won't. But how many of you are stuck? Well, I like the honest folks. They defied me. Good. Because you know what? We're going to get unstuck today. Here's how it works. We must trust the Holy Spirit to move us away from the things that will cause us to lose the most important thing, hope. I guess I don't remember, it's been so long ago since I made this quote before, but I guess you can live, allow in excess of 3 or 4 minutes without air. Sometimes people can make it 10 minutes without air. They say that you can live without food, and other people have proven it, 40 days or longer. Some people say you can live without water for up to 10, 12 days. It's been done before. But you know what? You can't live 1 minute without hope. Amen. Not one. You have to have hope to take the next breath. And you know what? The next breath doesn't come from you. It comes from him. Amen. And he's got more invested in you of what can happen in your life than you would probably even imagine. Well, We will find the Lord's purpose when we seek him with all our whole heart. And I hope in the next few moments I can convince you of how that really works. Well, anger will cause us to focus on disappointment of what we thought the things were going to look like. And some of us have a video that plays constantly in the background. By now, I should be the head of this department. And they haven't recognized my skill set yet. And something's calling me over there. I'm going to go over there and try and see if it works out. I want to help you folks that are always looking for the next thing to come along to rescue you. It is not there. It's an illusion of your mind. Some of us live in delusionment, and we can't allow God's purpose to come to us. Well, false hope will cause our flesh to seek fulfillment in things that are only temporary. And I wanted to let you know, the opioid crisis that's happening in the United States now is only a cover-up for the disappointment that people just couldn't see happening in their lives. They have medicated themselves to go to la-la land, to the place where they think they can get everything fulfilled. Now, please do not take this offensively to those of you who got stuck in that particular place, but I want to let you know there's deliverance. There's freedom. There's God who's able to take you beyond all the disappointment and broken dreams that happened to you. But the addictions are not just to opioids, the addictions, we get addicted to ourselves into trying to find the next thing, the next situation to take us out of crisis. How about this one? Bad habits. Bad habits. Bad habits feed the sensual part of us that look for fulfillment in things that appeal to our flesh. I'm not just talking about sexual perversion. Not that there's not enough of that. But bad habits are simply this: time wasters. Netflix. Binge watching. I need to not go any further because I heard a few people. I feel, Jesus. Let it go. We sense the nearness of the Lord when we choose to abide in his presence. So I haven't felt Jesus. You know, I just can't feel the presence of God. Who moved? He's the constant, you're the variable. If you can't feel the presence of God, guess who's moved away from who? Because he said, I am faithful, I am just, I will always be there. He's the rock of our salvation. He's immovable. And we must realize that that's so important for us. Well, our purpose should be founded in our desire and hope in the Word of God. I have nothing else to offer you than the Word of God. And that means that we must learn how to hope in the promises of Jesus. The next time you come to a place of wantedness, you should say, you know, when you feel like you're just not going to make it, remember what Paul says is, and my God shall supply all. If you're feeling hopeless, go to the scripture that says that God's going to supply all your needs. It may be at this particular point, what we think is a need, God said, I'm going to test you in this, but you know, if you really need it, it's going to be right there for you. So don't become disillusioned on those things. Well, we must learn sometimes we will have to bypass our plans to get to God's purpose. Y'all get to vote on this one. How many of you have ever executed a plan that didn't work? The rest of you are liars. And we'll have a special altar call for you. Because I made out some elaborate plans. We got it all together. Things coming together. And it didn't go anywhere. And then we try to blame everybody else for our plan. I'll tell you what. The plan was no good. You didn't consult God. It was just what you thought was going to happen. And now you're mad at everybody. I'm never going to pin on her again. Really? Come on. If we receive God's yes with praise, listen to this carefully, we must be willing to accept, receive God's no with trust. Amen. Oh, God's going to do this for me. Oh, praise God. Oh, yeah, God's going to give me a new house. God's going to give me a new job. God's going to give me this. And God says, I'm not doing anything for you today. What? You're going to go over there, and God says, don't go there. What? You're talking to me? We start rebuking the devil, and it's God the whole time. We're like spoiled, enabled children, thinking that everything we imagine in our mind is supposed to happen to us. I'm going to help you right now. This is therapy 101. Everything that comes in your mind, in your thought, is not from God. Our hope should be a lifestyle of believing and trusting God regardless of circumstances. If you're involved in the court system or anything that's involved with law, there's a certain thing or a certain terminology that's used. It's called circumstantial evidence. Based upon circumstances, this would seem hypothetically true. Well, yeah, of course, he was there. The gun was there. There's a good possibility that he took the gun and shot her. Doesn't mean it's necessarily true, but everything sets this up that it should work that way. And some of us have been living our lives by circumstantial evidence. What? We try to fill in the blanks for God, and God says, I'm not going that way. Interesting. Well, our hope rests upon the promises of God. We will gladly forsake our ways in order to pursue Jesus' purpose for our lives, which simply means this. When we forsake our ways, we will have peace, the peace of the Lord's forgiveness and freedom to pursue his will. Now, here's something you need to know. God is under no obligation to reveal his will to a person who's not willing to do it. See, we want to have... Well, on my smorgasbord of things I could do, there's the will of God, and there's the will of, that I'd like to do, and there's what my mommy wanted. And this is what my friends think I'm really good at. God's will should be at the top of the priorities that we have in our lives. In the next few moments, I want to show you how we can accomplish that, how we'll get to it. Well, the Word of God breaks the cycle that will keep us from bondage to ourselves, which means our thoughts and habits will change. They need to change. That means our plans will become secondary to God's purpose. Your plan, God's purpose. Which you're going to pursue? Well, I think I want God's purpose for my life. Can I take a break and see what his plan is, and then I'll give you an answer? Really? We'll explore that a little bit further in just a moment. Our plans are often based upon three things. Number one, knowledge. Number two, ability. Number three, intelligence. What do these things have to do with anything? Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had no knowledge? It was intellectually beyond your capability and intelligence, yet God still made it work. Well, we must change our ways by changing our thoughts. This means if we think a certain way, it will greatly impact the direction your life will go. Does that seem illogical? Well, what about this? If you change the way you think, you will change the way you are. Our thoughts and our plans must find root in the Word of God. Now, here we come to a place in Ephesians that's going to help us a bit. The level of your thinking will determine your freedom to pursue God's purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through, we're going to go 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Let's stop right there for a moment. Are you seeking the outward man or the inner man to be strengthened? Well, outwardly, we want to make a splash on the earth and make people think we're a lot better than we are. What are we doing to strengthen the core of the inner man? I can only think of a couple of things that'll do that. Obviously, the first connection is prayer. Secondly, is a word. But here's number three that will trump either one of those, is obedience. You can pray all you want to, but if you're not willing to obey, skip it. You can read the Bible from cover to cover, but if you don't believe it, it will do you absolutely no good. But the thing about it is, when we trust God in all these ways, things can happen. The Lord wants to, let me finish down to verse 20. I'm sorry. Okay, go to the next few verses. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that's a good thing, and may be able to comprehend all with all the saints, that is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. A couple more verses I think we have. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Hold that thought for a moment. Ever try to outthink God? I said, ever tried to outthink God? Say yes. Because you thought that was good for you, but God said, oh, no, it's not. Well, it's what I've always wanted. It's the desire of my heart, Pastor. And if God really loved me, he let me have him or her. And when you finally got her, you want to blame God because she there. Because she wasn't what you thought she was. I got to leave that alone because I will get hijacked in a minute. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever, amen. That's part I had to leave in there. But exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What power is working in you? Two powers that work in all of us that we must get a handle on. Need and greed. They're twins. Interchangeable. And sometimes we don't know the difference. Well, I really shouldn't feel this way, but I do. How does that work? If you know you shouldn't feel that way, what's going to stop you from feeling that way? The fact of being submitted to the power of God and his works working through us. Well, the Lord wants to strengthen you from the inside out. The level to which we'll level you think will determine the level of freedom that we have in Christ. And that means simply this, that Christ must dwell in our hearts through faith that we have in his word. Okay? We must be rooted and grounded. Here's the very first thing, in love. You'll notice that when it defines or it speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I want to tell you, it's not the fruits of the Spirit, plurality. It's all of them together. Because some of us want to smorgasbord the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I want peace today, but love is really not on my agenda. Gentleness, I am mad, and I'm going to let her know how mad I am. Faith, I don't really think it's going to happen. Are you serious? The fruit of the Spirit are all encompassing together, that you need the fruit of the Spirit, all of them together. We're going to teach about that sometime before the year's over. But I'll tell you what, when you smorgasbord thinkers of God, it's not going to work for you. Well, the level we think will determine our level of freedom. What does that mean? We must mature in our faith. I realize that there's a kindergarten concept, as many of us have, that, well, my faith isn't really as strong as hers. Your faith will be as strong as you allow the word to have a place in you. That means we must choose to accept the responsibility of growing up in the word. Quit snacking on Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, thou art with me. My rod and staff, they comfort me. They anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that all you know? Get a clue, y'all. There's more that God wants to install in your heart. Well, that means as we go higher in truth, things will get harder. Don't fear that. Because he's strengthening you on the inner man. That means, furthermore, the word of God breaks the cycle that will hold us hostage to bad decisions. Repeat after me. I have made bad decisions without consulting God. That's the first step to freedom, is you admit it, that you have made bad decisions. So, oh, it really wasn't that bad. It was just a mistake, and I need a do-over. Well, let me define that for you. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us the truth of who we are in Christ. If we ever make a bad decision, it's because we've been deceived to believe something that's not true, that we are in Christ. If the Bible says we're an overcomer, then we need not be overcome by situations. Well, furthermore, we are to be filled with the fullness of God. I don't have time to expand on that. I will at another time. He will fill us beyond what we could ask or even think. Every single person in this room, without any disparity, has the option, or actually the availability, of being filled with the Spirit. What? Being filled with the Spirit gives us the access to everything that God is and all that Jesus wants to do in us. Well, the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in the life of all believers, which means we must realize the power that we have by obeying the Word. The level we think on will determine our level of freedom, and we will gain confidence as we walk in the authority that is given to us by the Word of God. Some of these things I'm not going to be able to expand on, but in the weeks to come, it will help you grow in grace in the things of God. Let me get to the home stretch of this. We must turn back the battle at the gate. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, only two verses, but they're really impactful. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. That word you need to focus in is the word is remnant. Everybody won't get it. If you get some of the things, the treasures from this word today, it'll be because you have focused in and saying, well, you know, I came to church this morning to learn something about Jesus that's going to help me in my walk. Well, you'll be a part of that remnant. And the next few verses says this, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, for the strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. You say, what does that mean? That means before you get in trouble, you're able to analyze what's going on and you're able to resist before you get yourself smothered by it. There's some thoughts you won't let get into your mind. Like, all right, let me make it real practical. Somebody cuts you off in traffic. The normal thing for you is to honk your horn, shake your fist, or do other gestures, which I will not mention, and become verbally annoyed. But before that takes over in your mind, you're saying, you know what? God's a good God, and you just move on, and you don't even allow at the gate of your mind that what says, I don't deserve to be disrespected like this. If you think that's the last time you'll be disrespected, good luck with that. If you are that fragile, get over it. That's only the enemy trying to drag you away from the presence of God into the cesspool of unrighteousness. Don't go there. But what it means is these last few things we'll talk about. We must be prepared to fight the enemy before he can get a foothold on our life. We must take authority over our thoughts at the gateway of our mind. What does that mean? Most battles are fought and won in the battlefield of your mind. Someone doesn't meet your expectations. Or it's your birthday, they didn't call you. I called her on her birthday. Why didn't she call me on mine? And you know what the devil's going to tell you? She doesn't love you. Not that she forgot. She doesn't love you. Never did. And this relationship is going nowhere. You have to learn to cut off those thoughts of the enemy because you find out later on that she lost her cell phone. How do you feel? Because you've already tried, convicted them, and they're out of your speed dial. Turn it back at the gate where the enemy's trying to tell you you're no good, they're no good, this thing isn't working. Turn it back at the gate. Stop the devil from lying to you at the very beginning. Don't go there. For heaven's sake, my goodness. You must take authority over our thoughts at the gateway of your mind. We can change the ending to our story as we stand firm in the Lord. I want to talk to some of you folks who had rough beginnings. I'm not going to say my beginning was rough, but it could have been better. I'm not here to accuse anybody, my mom, dad, or anybody. But you know what? God allowed you to have maybe a rough beginning, but you get to choose how it's going to end. Oh, yes, you do. You can use the same bitterness or the same things that happened to you in your early life, or you can say, you know what? But as for God, God has given me a new vision of what my life's supposed to be about. And what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good. You get to change how your story is going to end. It can end with faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to take you to this story rather quickly. I am borrowing 8 minutes from you because you took 8 minutes of mine. So work with it. Get over it. It's mine. The devil has predetermined his desire to destroy your purpose and destiny. This is 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 through 10. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for the battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me." Next verses, please. "And if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that I may fight together, that we may fight together." For those of you who don't know, this is the story of David and Goliath. This is Goliath boasting a situation. You can't deny it with me. You guys are a bunch of punks. And I got the only, but you send somebody down here, and if you can beat me, we will serve you all the days of your life. And you're looking at Goliath, and he's, you know, standing above everybody else, saying, "Oh man, who's going to deal with this person?" Well, let's deal with this. You cannot create a new beginning, but you can create a new ending. The best place to fight the battle is before it begins. To take a stand at the gate, to take a stand while these things are being stated. And at that particular time, when it doesn't look like it, it's going to turn out that good. Don't raise your hand on this one, because I want this between you and Jesus. But some of you are facing a Goliath of circumstances that you can't see any way out, and you see yourself being consumed by them. Well, consider this. If we let worry in, anxiety will win. If we let worry in, anxiety is already won. Isaiah 59, verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him." When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. When your mind is going crazy, God says, "Oh no, this is not how your story's going to end. I don't care what giant is up there. I don't care what he's spouting out. I am there with you. And he who's with you is with you is nothing against those people who are against you." Well, here we go. Our strength comes from the standard of the word. The stability comes from the integrity of the word. We're just about there, folks. The standard of forgiveness will allow us to walk in freedom. If you expect God to work on your behalf and you're an unforgiving person, it ain't going to work. The best thing you can do today is to forgive all the people who've hurt you. Forgive all the bosses who have mistreated you. Forgive all the people who have let you down. That's the beginning point. Here's what happens in this story. We have to take a stand and set a standard. It's interesting that the Goliath story, you know, the predetermination of how we're going to be destroyed and such of this nature. We must be prepared to fight the enemy before he can get a foothold on our life, which means we must take authority over the thoughts and the gateway of our mind, and most battles are fought and won on the battlefield in your mind. But here's the thing. The devil has predetermined a desire to destroy our purpose and destiny. What does that mean? 1 Samuel 17, 8 through 10, I believe. I think I missed those verses, did I? Yeah. If you're able to fight against me and prevail against those things, I said, defy the armies of Israel this day and give you a man that can fight it, okay? And then the next one I wanted to get to was, 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 46. This is one I love. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, that God of the enemies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp to the enemy of the Philistines, the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." I want you to stop. Close your eyes right now. Close your eyes right now. I want you to think of the thing that is most intimidating to you. That I don't want you to imagine, but I want you to give God permission with your faith to have deliverance in the name of Jesus. You say, "Oh, it's finances. I don't, Pastor, you just know how bad we are in debt." God can take care of that. First, you've got to repent of anything you had to do with that problem. But the main thing is, if it surpasses you, God's able to do that. The sickness you said to you, they said that you never get healed from, God says, "I'm the Lord your God that heals you." And believe that God's able to do it. Creating a new ending means that you will not allow the anxiety of what you're facing to win. As a worship team comes back up here, I want to tell you this. There's three things I want you to have. You can open your eyes because I want you to hear these things. Question number one, what are the things that are keeping you from fulfilling your purpose? What are they? Is it unforgiveness? Is it the fact that your faith says it's not going to happen? There are three people in this room right now that are facing a crisis. When I say crisis, I'm not talking about financial. I'm talking about a crisis that if God doesn't intervene, nothing's going to be done. When you respond, not if you respond, when you respond to Jesus today, what you're saying is, "I'm no longer believing what the world says, I'm believing what God says." Here's the second thing I want to ask you. What is the ending that you would like to have in the battle that you're facing? What does it look like? "Well, I want my children saved. I want my home back the way that God wants it to be. And I'm believing God to do something that I thought wasn't even possible." Here's the third one. What things must you forgive or forget or to get forgiveness in order for you to win? Because I want to talk to every person that's stuck in unforgiveness that will keep you from inheriting and completing your destiny. I'm going to pray right now for every person in this room that's stuck at the gate of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will kill you. Matter of fact, it's worked its toll on you thus far. But you know what? I've found out one of the first things or first person that you've got to forgive is you for harboring that thought against that person. The devil will tell you you're not worthy of being forgiven, that you're this evil person. But if you can believe Jesus can forgive you, you must forgive yourself. Second thing I want to tell you, that there are people here today that says, "You know, I've been fighting this battle for a long time and I really want to achieve God's destiny. It's only going to happen when you choose to put the word of God first over any feeling or any experience you've ever had." And Jesus, I pray today for people that are lost in the sea of all types of circumstances. They're lost in the sea of all the things that have occurred in their life that keep them away from believing your truth. In a few moments, I'm going to ask you to stand with me and ask God what he wants to do with your life. For those you already know and said that you've been working contrary to that, it should be a no-brainer for you to be walking down these aisles saying, you know what, I want the story to end the way that God wants it to end. But in order for that to happen, I got to forgive some folks. I have to forgive myself. I have to remove myself away from the bad habits that move out the things of God. Everyone stand to your feet. Do you want Jesus? Or do you want the circumstance to stay the way it is? I want to invite you to come. If this is the first time you've ever heard the story about Jesus loving you and him being here for you and him making a supreme sacrifice for your sins, that's number one. For number two, for those people who have walked away and walked backwards toward the things that once held you in bondage, this is the day for you to be set free. But there's another group of people here today that says, that really says, you know, I want to write a new ending to my story. Right now I'm headed down a path that if Jesus were to come today, there would be so much regret I'd have in my life because I'm going the wrong direction. I'm going contradictory to what God wants me to do. If it's a habit, if it's a person, if it's a circumstance, if it's any of those things, today is the day to get it straight. As people are standing right now, if you're here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, I need to get some stuff straight today, lift your hand right now. I got to get it straight today, not tomorrow, today. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high. Don't let the devil hold you back. Put your hands down. As we sing this song, if you're serious, I want you to find your way down these aisles and come to this place where you're going to find deliverance, where you're going to find healing, where you're going to find restoration, where you're going to find compassion. And we're going to write a new ending to your story. In Jesus' name, come right now. 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 Come right now.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.